Acts. But in our first half hour, we're going to begin with Jen Kimmick. She is the co-founder of The Alchemist and serves on the boards of numerous groups working for social change in Vermont, ranging from the Vermont Public Interest Research Group to the Vermont Council on Rural Development, State Workforce Development Board. She is the chair of the Main Street Alliance and also serves on the public policy committees of VBSR and the Interests of Disclosure. As you just heard, The Alchemist is also an underwriter of the Vermont Conversation. Jen Kimmick, welcome back to the Vermont Conversation.
Thanks, David. Great to be here.
So you run a very successful and very busy brewery. How do you find time to serve on all of these different organizations working on so many different issues in Vermont?
Well, it can be a challenge. Just like every Vermonter, you know, we struggle to balance work and family and public policy engagement. But for me, it's a part of my job. You know, part of our brand, The Alchemist, is really caring about community and caring about our state. So I really look at it as a part of my position. And then it's also taken us a long time to get to where we're at The Alchemist, where we have such a large and strong group of employees that I really, my day-to-day obligations aren't as strong as they once were, even just a couple years ago.
Is there, you grew up in Barrie, attended Spalding High School.
Yeah.
Did you? What made you decide to stay in Vermont? This is a question we hear often. How do you get people to stay? Why are you still here?
Yeah, it's funny you ask that. I had a great childhood growing up in Barrie. My dad worked here in Waterbury in the state offices. And I'll be honest, growing up, I couldn't wait to leave Vermont. You know, I thought there were bigger and better things out there. And sure enough, after graduating from UVM, I spent a couple of years backpacking around Europe, you know, different Northern Africa, the islands. Came back to Vermont, and that's where I fell in love with my husband, John. And when we married over 20 years ago, we traveled around. We lived in Wyoming and Florida and ended up back in Boston and just didn't know where we wanted to settle. And then, you know, we woke up one day and realized that we belonged in Vermont. We missed Vermont. We certainly couldn't afford a town and country lifestyle where we were living in the city and visiting Vermont on the weekends. And we came back here in 2002. And Vermont's been really good to us. It's hard to imagine that I ever thought I wanted to leave Vermont, because now I can't imagine living anywhere else.
So many of us, myself included, first came to know of The Alchemist and Hetty Topper when you were a restaurant and pub on Main Street in Waterbury. And then in 2011, your brewery and restaurant gets wiped out by Hurricane Irene. Take us back to that moment. You're a, you know, a small business, relatively young business, and young business owners. Did you think this was it? That this, you'd had a great ride and it was going to end in the waters of Irene?
Not at all. I will say that happened August 29th, 30th, 2011. In January of 2011, we started building out our first production brewery in Waterbury, just a mile up the road from here. It was a small operation. We were only intending to make about 1,500 barrels of beer for the first couple of years. So it was a pretty quick build out. Our first beers were done fermenting. Our canning line was installed, and we were literally planning to can our first batch of Hetty Topper the day after the flood hit. So it was just a crazy day. You know, we woke up, we knew our pub was flooded. On our way there to go meet with companies that would help us pump it out and start emptying out the first floor, we stopped at the Waterbury Brewery, saw the very first cans being filled, gave a little toast. It wasn't as exciting as we had certainly planned for the months leading up to that. And then we went down to the pub and started cleaning up. You know, I guess at that point we really had a decision to make, you know, to just give up on that location and focus on Waterbury, or, you know, do our best to put our best foot forward to rebuild. And that's what we did. You know, at the time, we really thought we would come back and reopen our pub there. But certain things happened over the next several months. You know, we found out that none of our contents or our beer tanks or anything were covered by our flood insurance because they were in the basement. And then we also found out, because of FEMA coming in, it was a special regulated flood zone, so we couldn't have new construction in our basement. So that space wasn't ideal for our brewery. But we did renovate it, and then we ended up leasing it out to the Pro Pig. But we were really fortunate that we did have that new production brewery going, because we were able to focus on it. And within 8 months, we had tripled production. Within 2 years, we had grown 600%. So, you know, while it is sad that we weren't able to reopen our pub, it really gave us the ability to focus on our production brewery. And I'm sure that if we were still hosting and helping wash dishes and all of the challenges that come with owning a restaurant, we wouldn't be where we are today with our production breweries.
Well, and I remember well in the weeks after, in the cleanup, which everybody in town was involved in, mm-hmm. Hetty Topper would magically appear at various houses as we were up to our knees helping neighbors. So it helped fuel the recovery. Well, let's dive into some of the issues that you have immersed yourself in. Most recently, you've been in the news because of solar power that you are donating to the Waterbury Senior Center. Explain what is going on and how this came about.
Sure. We decided to net meter solar power to our Waterbury production brewery a few years ago. So we entered into an agreement to net meter our power through Dart Hill Farm in Bristol. And so we have 100% solar power in the production brewery. A little over a year ago, we built a new storage unit on our property. This is for empty cans. There's also a freezer and a refrigerator, a large cooler in there. And when we did that, it received its own new address. And with that came new monthly energy bills. Didn't think much about it because it was pretty small in comparison to the larger production brewery. But one day, our office manager, Ashley, who is just so wonderful and so bright, she said, "Hey, you know, I'm getting these small electricity bills for the storage unit. Have you thought about putting solar on that roof?" And it was just such a great idea. I couldn't believe we hadn't thought of it. So we contacted Sun Common, who we're good friends with. They did great work, and they came right out, and they assessed the building and the way it was situated. They said, this is perfect for roof panels. So, you know, we started the analysis, and what we found out is we could actually produce twice as much energy with those panels that we needed for our remaining electrical needs. So right away, we said, let's just put it back on the grid and donate it. We had a couple of options. You know, there wasn't a lot to donate, about $255 a month. We could have split it up and given it to employees, but we have 50 employees that use Green Mountain Power, so that didn't make much sense. So right away, we said, let's give it to the Senior Center, because we love the Senior Center. We love everything they do. And, you know, we make other donations to them. And, you know, $250 a month isn't, let's face it, that's not a really big business donation. But I think it's a really cool idea that other businesses can do. And I think even more important, it's a sustaining donation. It's something they can count on every single month. They know how much more they can spend on nutritional food for our seniors.
And does this actually, for businesses who, business owners who might be listening and wondering how you actually do this, the nuts and bolts, it's a credit on their electric bill? The power company administers this donation?
Yeah. Yes, because they're on the Green Mountain Power grid. And, you know, none of this would be possible without Sun Common, but I think even more importantly, Green Mountain Power. They've been such a great leader here in Vermont.
We're talking with Jen Kimmick. She is the co-founder and co-owner of the Alchemist Brewery, the maker of Hetty Topper, and involved in a variety of political issues around the state. If you want to join the conversation, you can call us at 244-1777 or toll free 877-291-8255. Environmental issues generally have been very important to you and to your business. You've been involved in efforts to get carbon pricing in Vermont and are pushing for decarbonization. So talk about why it's important to you and what does this mean, these terms, carbon pricing and decarbonization.
Mm-hmm. The Essex Plan is an economy-strengthening strategic energy exchange. And, you know, there are a lot of decarbonization plans out there. I think this is a could be a great plan for Vermont because it's designed specifically for the state of Vermont. But I think what's even more important is we really need to identify what carbon pricing plan we want for the state of Vermont, because we need something if we're going to meet our very aggressive energy goals moving forward. But there are so many reasons. Climate change is so important to us. The Alchemist is threatened by climate change. This isn't an exaggeration at all. When we think about what it takes to make our beer, whether it's Focal Banger or Heady Topper, the three main ingredients are threatened by climate change: water, clean water, hops, and malt. We get all of our hops from the Pacific Northwest. You know, that can be a volatile area between droughts and flooding and also wildfires. We get our malt from the UK, and it's the same situation: droughts, flooding, and then clean water. We need clean water to make good beer. And as we all know, we have a real crisis in this state. You don't have to look far. Lake Champlain, Lake Carmi. We've really need to look forward and just come up with a way to clean up our water and have smart policy moving forward.
It is now the spring. This is the week that many students are hearing back from colleges, including a member of my own household. Each day, you no longer race to the mailbox, but you do race to your email inbox. You have the Alchemist Foundation has established the Opportunity Fund to help Vermont kids go to college, and there's a deadline coming up for it of May 11th. What is the Opportunity Fund?
The Opportunity Fund is a scholarship that we started, I think it was 5 years ago now. And when we started, we had only had our production brewery in Waterbury, so it was scholarships for young adults from Waterbury. Now we have extended it to our actual footprint, so that includes Waterbury, all of Harwood, actually, Stowe, and Morrisville People's Academy. And we award each year anywhere from 8 to 12 scholarships. It's renewable for 4 years, $1,500 a year. That's what we're doing. I think right now we have... I think we have 52 students that are currently getting scholarship, but I could be wrong. But yeah, over the course of 4 years, that's about where we get to.
And who is eligible for these scholarships?
Any graduating senior. And I think the main point I want to make is this isn't for straight A students. This isn't for, you know, kids that are certainly going to four-year colleges. Of course, we do award scholarships to kids going to four-year colleges, but we really want to reach kids that are kind of not sure if they're going to go to college or not. We want the B and C students. We even want students that are really struggling to get through high school. We want to help find ways to help them access tech training, different apprenticeship programs. As we move forward, I think we'll see less four-year scholarships and more scholarships going towards trades and tech training.
Why are the B and C students and tech students, why is that so important to you?
We have a really great graduation rate in the state of Vermont. Everyone wants to talk about, you know, how high it is, well over 90%. But we have a lot of kids that don't go on to college. Over 40% in the state don't go to college. And in some communities, most kids go to college. In some communities, most kids don't go to college. In Lamoille County, we have a lot of kids that aren't going on to college. They don't have any plans. So we really want to target those kids and not only help them find career pathways, but give them the support they need to find the right jobs in Vermont. I think, you know, our plan with the foundation is not only to help youth and to help bring an end to generational poverty and give them new opportunity, but to really help the state's workforce development and economic growth.
Are you the Alchemist Foundation? That's quite a thing for a small, relatively new craft brewery to have its own charitable foundation. Mm-hmm. When did it start? Is this unique among the craft brewers so far in Vermont?
I can't speak for any of the other breweries. You know, sadly, the one thing we don't do well is really pay a lot of attention, or so we're in our bubble. You know, we're working, our heads are down, so we're really focused on our own foundation. It's important to us because, you know, John and I, we're the only partners in our business. We've grown it ourselves, and we don't need much. But what really drives us is the impact that we can have on our communities. That's what we're all about. So, you know, our long-term goal with the foundation is to just really grow it in our community and have as much impact as possible. And the way we can do that is really by staying focused, again, on Lamoille County and Waterbury, you know, not spreading ourselves too thin. We have an amazing executive director, Liz Schlegel, and she's really just doing such a great job. I mean, we have so many programs and partnerships, and we're working on some credentialed classes with Community College of Vermont. So we have a lot of exciting things coming up, and you're going to hear a lot about the foundation moving forward.
You've also been very active through Main Street Alliance and VBSR on some of the issues like family medical leave. What's the issue here, and why are you involved in it?
Family medical leave has really played an important role in the success of The Alchemist. You know, even when we had our pub years ago, we tried to professionalize as many roles as possible. You know, we tried to get our dishwashers and our hostess and our prep cooks and our chefs all on salary so that we could provide them the benefits that they needed to let them have a livable job. You know, and wages weren't always so high. We could only afford so much, but we recognized early on that if we were able to give our employees some stability in terms of health care and time off when they were sick or their children were sick or their parents were sick, that not only made our staff stronger and our business stronger, but it gave them the stability that they needed to really survive. It helped us retain our employees. You know, most of our employees that were with us at the pub are still with us today. So, you know, it's an investment. Family medical leave is an investment in your employees, but it's also an investment in your business because you're better able to retain your staff. There are so many people, so many Vermonters today that want and need family medical leave, and they simply don't have it. And a lot of times, if we're thinking about most vulnerable Vermonters, Vermonters that make low wages, when they miss work, they're not able to put food on the table. So this is just such an important issue, not only to me, but to most Vermonters. I mean, when we poll small business owners, there's a large majority that want paid family medical leave. They also want it for themselves because small business owners don't have it. And in this, we are a small business state. In the state of Vermont, over 90% of our businesses have less than 20 employees. We're hearing from those business owners that this is something they need.
Where is the bill at? I know that Senate Pro Tem Tim Ash has sort of taken this off the front burner. Update us on what's going on with it.
Sure. Well, it passed the House last year.
And let's just remind listeners, what is the proposal? What is the proposed law?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, in my opinion, I think this should be funded by employers, but it did get changed a little bit in the House last year, and now it is funded 100% by the employee. And what it is it is a percentage of your pay that is taken out, and it is 0.141%, which is so incredibly small. Just to let you know what that is, if you make a minimum wage, it's $30 a year. So if it's someone who's making between $40,000 and $50,000 a year, you know, it's going to be $50, $60 a year. This is really cheap. And what it does is it provides wage replacement 80% for 6 weeks so that you can take care of your sick children or take care of your sick parent. So it's just really great insurance. Right now, it is in the Senate Economic Development. Once it goes through the Senate Economic Development Committee, it'll then go on to finance and then appropriations, and we look forward to having it on the governor's desk by the end of the year.
Has the governor indicated whether he'll support it at this point?
I think, as most people know, the governor, since he was running for governor, has said he is not in support of any new fee, any new tax, any new expenses. But the fact of the matter is we need to stay focused on our goals as a state, and we need to keep moving forward on smart policy that provides safety nets for Vermonters, all Vermonters, middle class, our most vulnerable. So that's what we're focused on right now.
$15 minimum wage has been a top issue. What is your thinking on that, and where is that at this point, if you know?
Personally, I am in favor of the minimum wage increase. However, at the same time, I recognize that small businesses in the state, they're a little fearful. I think for a lot of small businesses that really struggle to get by, this is the difference between maybe making money and not making money. With that said, we do need to raise minimum wage. We need to figure out a way to do it, and it makes sense for small business owners. But since we're talking about minimum wage, again, I want to go back to family medical leave and just say how inexpensive family medical leave is in comparison to minimum wage. And, you know, one of the things we're hearing from small business employers, especially at Main Street Alliance, is, look, if my dishwasher goes from $10 to $11 an hour, that's not going to change their situation at home. It's not going to give them the stability they need when they're sick, or when their family's sick, or when they need time off. But policy like family medical leave really does do that. It really gives people the safety nets they need when they're most vulnerable. And just again, family medical leave is not a radical idea. This is all over the world.
You authored an op-ed back a few months ago urging Governor Scott to dedicate the Volkswagen money to fund electric buses and electric public transportation. Fill us in on what's at issue here and why you're passionate about this.
Well, you know, young Vermonters, we need to protect their air. They're our future. You know, this settlement money needs to be used for public use. And I think school buses just make sense. I think not only is it going to help clean our air, but it's just such a great message to send to young Vermonters, not only that we care about them, but there are solutions for the future.
Well, let's just explain the as you wrote in an op-ed back in December, the state of Vermont is expected to receive about $19 million from the recent Volkswagen legal settlement for cheating emissions tests. And under the law, this money must be spent on clean transportation projects. So you're calling for, this would be electric school buses and commuter buses and the like?
Absolutely. And I think now they're also talking about investing in car chargers throughout the state. So that's a good mix.
Do you know where this is at this point? The decisions over how the money is going to, the Volkswagen money is going to be used?
I am not certain where it is at this point today.
Yeah.
I believe it might be embedded in the budget. I'm not certain. I could follow up with you on that.
That's okay. And I know there's also tobacco settlement money there was just a decision on. So these things do get confusing. But this is a significant, this would be an issue that we should come revisit. It's a significant amount of money that we're talking about here. What is next for the Alchemist? What do you hope for?
You know, we just want to keep doing what we're doing. We don't have dreams of making a lot more beer. I think we just want to have an impact in our community. We really want to grow our foundation and just do cool stuff. One of the neat things we're doing now is a collaboration with the Waterbury Area Trail Alliance, as well as the Stowe Trail Partnership. Those are both mountain bike clubs. In addition to being clubs, they really take care of the trails. So we wanted a way to give back to both communities and support mountain biking. And this was really the perfect way for us to support Waterbury and Stowe, because we're literally helping to bring the two communities together. And that's really exciting.
I remember that when you and your husband, John, your partner in The Alchemist, have been here in the past, you've talked about the you're regularly getting fielding offers from investors who want to buy The Alchemist and go big with it, because you remain kind of a cult beer that is very hard to get much beyond central Vermont. Does that still happen, or do you still get people wanting to buy you?
I think back at the pub, we would just get people walk in and, you know, say they wanted to invest or buy us. Now it's more a paper from a merger and acquisition guy. I say guy because it's usually a guy. And we don't respond to those. They go right in the recycling bin. You know, we have no interest in the world in selling our business. You know, sometimes when times are tough, you're like, oh gosh, it could be easier. We could sell, but we would never do that. You know, we have over 50 full-time salaried employees who are our family. We're in this together. Our community depends on us, and we're just not going anywhere.
What would you say to other business owners about how you've made the not really a transition, how you've just always continued to straddle the worlds of, you know, charities and grant making and social engagement with, you know, the hard work of running a business?
Mm-hmm. You know, it's tough. It's tough for everyone, whether you're a parent or you're not, whether you work two jobs or one. I think everything's a balance. It can be challenging, but you do it. You know, you prioritize every day, and always prioritize family first. And then the top items for the day at work, and then you do what you can. Everyone does what they can. I believe that.
In 10 years, what do you want The Alchemist to be doing and to look like?
I want The Alchemist to be doing the exact same thing, but I want us to be doing it better. You know, we've been working really hard to lower our environmental impact between innovative wastewater systems and solar, but there's more work we can do there. You know, we envision greenhouses on our property and reclaiming our CO2 and all sorts of neat things like that.
Hmm. Okay, well, Jen Kimmick, co-founder, co-owner of The Alchemist Brewery, maker of Heady Topper. I want to thank you for joining us again on the Vermont Conversation.
Thanks, David.